Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Let's start with a couple of lists that we have. Dean, what do you have for us?
Well, we've got, Time's Most Influential People list. They put this out every year of people in lots of areas of interest, but I'm just going to focus on the entertainment people who made the list, including Taraji P. Henson, Michael J. Fox, Sofia Coppola, America Ferrara, Coleman Domingo, Fantasia Barrino, who was in the Color Purple movie and also on stage. Also, singer Dua Lipa made the list, and Japanese director Hayao Miyazaki, Leslie Odom Jr., who is performing in Chicago this coming weekend, Maya Rudolph, Oscar nominee Jeffrey Wright, among those who made the grade. There are many, many more. But you'll be able to see all of this. The Time Magazine 100 Most Influential articles will be coming out this next week. And then they're going to do a big TV special on ABC on May the 12th, for those of you that like to do your reading on television.
And tell us about this list of the most searched TV characters.
Yeah, this is kind of interesting. There is, you know, there's always somebody doing research on something, and an organization went and checked to see which television characters, sitcom characters, not the actors, but the characters, are the most searched on Google over the past year. And the number one most searched television sitcom character, Chandler Bing. Now, that may be because of the shocking news of his death, you know, over the past year, but he got over 300,000 searches per month. And then after that, it was Dr. Sheldon Cooper from The Big Bang Theory. Number three was Ron Swanson from Parks and Recreation, followed by Michael Scott from The Office and Joey Tribbiani from Friends. After that, the list is interesting. It's Phil Dunphy from Modern Family, Ross Geller from Friends, Cosmo Kramer and George Costanza.
Both I was in the pool! I was in the pool!
From Seinfeld, and Adam Goldberg from the TV show The Goldbergs. You better be careful with that. He's just a few blocks away from you.
Yeah, he's in town.
Over right at the Shakespeare Theater. He could walk over there and break that tape. Very interestingly, there are no women characters, no women sitcom characters in the top 10. They are on the list, and if you go down to, like, about number 25, you have two or three women on the list. But very interesting, it's an overwhelmingly male list for some reason. Can't figure out why.
You know, I was reading about Jason Alexander, and he was saying that when people yell out lines from Seinfeld, he enjoys that, and he'll acknowledge, but he doesn't turn around anymore on the street if somebody yells, "Hey, George." And the reason he doesn't, it's not what you think, it's because one time I guess he turned around to see who was saying hi to him, and it turned out to be somebody talking to somebody else whose name was George.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So he thought, I'm not going to do that anymore.
Yeah, that could be a little embarrassing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he says that he embraces the, you know, so, yeah. some people, we've had a lot of people who, you know, they come in and they don't want to talk about the characters you know them best from. But he is not one of those. The number one guy that comes to mind is Henry Winkler, you know, who's best known as the Fonz. He's done a lot of things since then, especially the TV series Barry. But he embraces the Fonz. And when I talked to Jason Alexander last week and asked about that, he said, you know, how do you not embrace something that gave you so much joy and so much laughter? And talked about how the show Seinfeld gave other people who are going through difficult times in their life so much enjoyment. So how do you turn your back on that?
Yeah, good for him.
That's why I'll always embrace Victory Auto Records, no matter what.
Stephen Colbert is coming to town this summer, isn't he?
Yeah, he made the announcement on his show last night. Well, here, let's have him tell the story.
The Late Show is doing shows from Chicago for the entire Democratic Convention for 1 week. Look at that. Sweet home. For 1 week, The Late Show will be broadcasting from the 130-year-old Auditorium Theater. Now, here's the thing. Some of you may know I lived in Chicago for 11 years, and it holds a special place in my heart. And not just because of all the Polish sausage that's still lodged in my aorta. Chicago is where I cut my comedy teeth performing at the Second City. And it's also where this South Carolina boy got an education in winter.
Yeah, well, he's not going to have to worry about that when he comes back. No. Come on. Yeah, give us a hard time about hot dogs or pizza or something, but don't bring up the cold weather. It wasn't even that cold this past winter, but when you're going to be here for the convention in August, you're going to be complaining about the heat, I guarantee. It'll be August 19th through the 22nd.
It's going to be a busy summer around here. And a change of heart for Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, he said he was going to make a movie called The Movie Critic, starring Brad Pitt. And that was going to be his last movie. He says he's got one more movie in him, and then he's going to retire after that. Probably inspired by Tom Skilling. He just decided to hang it. Maybe the movie should be called The Weatherman instead of The Movie Critic. But he has scrapped the whole project. He's been working on it literally for a couple of years. But he has scrapped the whole thing. He said he's going back to the drawing board, and he'll find something else. Whatever it is will still be his final movie of all time. So more to come on that. We'll keep you posted.
Remember the movie The Weatherman? I think that was Nicolas Cage,
right?
Wasn't it?
Yeah, he shot some of it. A lot of it, actually, here at WGN, because we were all under, it was like a big security thing. You couldn't walk down certain hallways. You couldn't go into certain studios where, you know, things were going on. But yeah, he and Tom Skilling was not only his weather advisor on that movie, but if you look carefully in the movie, they let Tom play a TV cameraman. So while Nicolas Cage is on camera doing the weather, in some scenes where you see the behind-the-scenes crew and everything, Tom Skilling is actually the guy holding the camera. They let him play a cameraman in that movie. Yeah,
Tom freaking Skilling!
That's right.
Marianne and I filmed a scene for that movie, and the director liked it so much he left it out of the film.
Oh, he probably wanted to keep it for his private collection.
Oh, sure.
Gore Verbinski was the director's name on that. Gore Verbinski.
Yeah, he's on my list. Let's talk about the Beauty and the Beast anniversary.
Yeah, this is kind of a special day in theater history today. The original Beauty and the Beast animated film came out in 1991, but it was on this day, 30 years ago, that the live stage production of Beauty and the Beast went on for the very first time in New York City. It went on to have an amazing run of 5,461 performances, and the live stage version of Beauty and the Beast has toured all over the world. So if you're a fan of Beauty and the Beast, it's kind of a special day. But it reminded me of, on this Throwback Thursday, an interview that I did in 2017, where I sat down with Alan Menken, who is the guy that wrote all of the songs for Beauty and the Beast and so many other Disney films. He's got 8 Academy Awards for songs that he's written for Disney movies. But I love when I sit down at a piano with a guy to interview them, and they kind of sprinkle in the piano to help tell their stories. This is Alan Menken from 2017.
Could you walk me through of how you built some of the most signature songs?
Sure.
For this?
For Belle, it felt like a classical moment coming through the town. I knew there's going to be a lot of counter melodies, and you have that little town. It's a quiet village every day like the one before, and you want to keep it very pastoral so you can get to bonjour, 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 bonjour. There goes the baker with his tray. With Be Our Guest, I just wanted to give the simplest possible French music hall feeling music, and I gave it to Howard literally as a dummy. And I said, here, here's some music. Come back and I'll write you the real music. And I couldn't improve upon it. It had to be our guest, be our guest. Put our service to the test. Gaston, I mean, you know, we were going for a drinking song, no one's slick as Gaston, no one's quick as Gaston, no one's neck's as incredibly thick as Gaston. And when Howard put that lyric in front of me, I literally could not get through setting it without spit taking all over the place because it was so hilarious.
Yeah.
And then we spent a lot of time working on Beauty and the Beast. We knew it had to be a very special piece of music. It also had to be able to be a pop single. Tale as old as time, true as it can be. Barely even friends, then somebody bends unexpectedly.
I love interviews.
It's pretty cool,
like that, where it's just he and I sitting together. He's at a piano and telling the story and kind of punctuating his stories on the piano. Definitely one of my very favorite. Now he won 8 Academy Awards from Beauty and the Beast, from Little Mermaid, from Aladdin, and from Pocahontas. He's worked on many others and has been nominated like 20 times. But 8 Academy Awards is not so bad for best original songs and best original scores.
You know, I can almost understand the creative process where you're writing the words to a song, because it's like creating a poem, but
right.
Where the melody comes from,
it's amazing.
I'm baffled.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's that part of the brain that is able to make that happen has always fascinated me. I couldn't agree more.
And always a different melody. Yeah. How do they do it?
I hope he wasn't offended that I was laying on the piano with my feet up, just like admiring him, like Fabulous Baker Boys. Kind of.
Okay. Now we'll
spend hope that wasn't too distracting.
Get that image out of our heads.
Try on seeing that today.
Talk to you tomorrow. Thank you, Dean.